we're podcasting again.
No, it's not podcast funny, it's comics funny, isn't it?
It's called comic book funny now.
Comic book funny. Do
we let this run out?
Yes! Hi, I'm Ben Hutchings.
Hi, I'm David Blumenstein.
Hi, I'm Ben Hutchings, how are you going?
Hi, I'm good, how are you?
I'm Ben Hutchings.
We're Australians, and we're going to talk about local Australian comics a little bit, and then we're going to divert and talk about really, really dumb shit. Anyway. Yeah.
Welcome back.
That's a new one.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Let's chat about comics, eh?
All right. Well, should you be a big, dirty commercial bastard and try to sell your comics to people, or should you just sort of make comics and then hide them under the bed and never let anyone see them?
Yeah, I think you should just hide them under your bed and never let anyone see them.
How many comics do you have under your bed?
Actually, I'm on my 23rd now.
Hmm.
Yeah, not under my bed, in boxes up in the top of the cupboard just there.
Yeah.
But no, I'm joking. I do my best to get them in as many places as possible, to be honest. And
now you started doing comics in 1993, you said?
I think that was when my first one came out, yeah.
And did you immediately start, like, trying to sell them to people?
Yeah, absolutely. I sent it to... Actually, I sent the comic itself to those Southern Squadron guys. I probably got the address wrong or something, but...
Oh, yeah.
I said, yeah, I made up copies hoping that I could get it published. It was really badly drawn. I was in high school, and they were the only guys doing comics, and I thought, oh, I wonder. And I sent it off to them, and...
This was at a time when Australian comics were actually on newsstands.
That was when, yeah, was it Southern Cross or Southern Squadron?
Southern Squadron, yeah.
That's what I meant to say, yeah. And then I found out that they hadn't been around for about 3 months, but their stuff was still in the shops or whatever, so... And then, yeah, I couldn't think of anywhere else to sell them, but, yeah, I used to take them all around. I used to actually take the bus down to Melbourne and take the bus up to Sydney and go travelling all around the place just for putting my comics in the shops.
Really?
Yeah, put them all in my backpack there. I had a big backpack walking around the heat, you know, get the yellow pages of the local, you know, local comics places. Never occurred to me just to call them from home and ask them.
And send comics to them.
Yeah, yeah. But, so I'd go in personally and try to talk to them, and I was very, very shy, and I was not, you know, confident about selling myself, do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. And they made it hard because they were always... very rude and very skeptical about what you were doing.
Yeah.
The Minotaur, I'm sure they're different now, but when they were just a little shop, there was a dude there, he was really, you can't just come and expect us to start, you know, doing exactly what you want, putting your comics on the thing, and, you know, you go and get the money, because I'm not just going to, you know, start chucking money at you, you know, you've got to ring up first and, you know, preparing, you know, so I can prepare and do all the paperwork, you know.
And so your little lip was wobbling and...
Yeah, tears in the eyes, and I went all red.
Yeah.
No, not really, but, yeah, that's what it was like. It was horrible. It was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Just over the recent years, comic shops are so good compared to what they used to be like. They buy them off you, usually. They give you money straight away. They do chuck money at you, and they're happy to do it.
Outside of Melbourne, they do that.
Oh,
in
really?
In Melbourne, it's really still all consignment.
Yeah, that's right. Sticky and 696, is that what they are?
Well,
I've
never been to them, but yeah.
Yeah, they do it that way.
Minotaur.
But that's okay, because, again, they're really, really easy to deal with.
Mm.
They don't have any problem. They know exactly what you're doing. And so it's really good now. The only place I don't go is probably King's Comics, because, I don't know, I hear bad things. But they've got a lot of stuff there, though, don't they? They do.
The last time I was in there with you, and they had quite a lot of stuff there. A lot of it was, you know, 100 years old.
Yeah, I don't think it sells from there, does it? They look like they were spilling out of the shelf onto the floor. There's so much stuff.
Well, they've always been really nice to me, actually, and I gave them some comics that last time, some of my new ones.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And took them with no hassle?
No hassle. And then maybe I came to Sydney in 2002 or 2003 or something, and there's another comic shop near King's Comics, I think, and they were not pleasant.
That would be Comics Kingdom, I think.
I wasn't going to name them, but that's probably correct.
Oops, I didn't get you in there. Yeah,
no, that's all right. Well, we've named everything else, so I sweat a lot, as you may or may not have noticed. I'm a white guy, and I sweat a lot.
Okay.
And I came in there, and I'd been hiking around Sydney all day, and I was just pouring with sweat, and I'm like, do you want, like, to take some of my comics, maybe? And they're like, let's take a look at them.
Oh.
You know, I was handing them the comic, and he's looking at my comic, and I'm just sitting there drooling with sweat, and it's dripping all over his floor. Like, yeah. Like huge bloop, bloop, drops of sweat. Yeah. And so finally he goes, yeah, we'll take a couple. And I get out, like, the invoice book, which I had, and, you know, and I'm...
sticking to your fingers and
it's sticking
transcript.
To my fingers, and I was dripping sweat on it, so it's getting damp. So it was not, you know, as shitty an impression of as I got of them. They didn't get a great impression of me either.
Well, what you should have done is just wipe your hand across your forehead and just gently wipe the sweat down his cheek, and then run away.
Yeah, I kind of wish I'd done that.
They're a strange shop. They do seem to have the same stock that they've had for the past 15 years.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They probably still have those comics because I never ever asked them about it again.
How do you get your comics out to people? Are you very good at that? Are you very aggressive?
No.
Do you sell yourself and write up little spiels and press releases and things like that?
Not for a comic, no. And I'm not very good at getting them into shops and stuff either. I take a long time and I'm not very diligent. Like, I should be... We went to New Zealand to the conventions over there last year.
Yeah.
And I haven't got back to those shops yet that we put our comics in.
Really?
Yeah. Have you?
They didn't need any more.
Oh, all right. I won't worry too much about it then.
No, I wouldn't worry either.
But, you know, generally it would be a good thing if I was checking, like, every few months, you know, all the shops that are supposed to stock my comics and say, so how is it going? Do you have my comics in stock? Have you sold them all? Can I send you some more? Do you love me? That kind of thing.
You need to write a little list with phone numbers, and you need to do it on a weekday when the proper manager dude is there and he can do it straight away.
Yep.
Do it at a good time when he's probably bored. I don't know. I don't know when in the day that would be, but
yeah,
that's what I do. I just keep a little list and regularly ring them up every couple of months.
So yeah, that's a good thing to do. That's advice for people out there who do comics. Nah, that's a shit one. We don't need a stink. You do a strip for a magazine.
Yeah, Picture Magazine, the girly magazine that you see on the shelves when you first walk into the newsagents.
It's the one that the old men get.
Yeah, not to be confused with People. I think it's exactly the same, but, you know, it's Picture, not People. Yeah, and it's definitely a more, I guess, blokey and lowbrow sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Penthouse go on about how it's like a... for the connoisseur of the female form and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Picture is more like, hey, check out the tits on page 4, have a big wank, woo! You know, like
oh,
that.
Mate, look at that stuff, mate!
Yeah! You're gonna wank yourself silly to actually say that. You know, it's really...
Yeah.
It's actually a very demented and strange magazine if you ever really look at it.
And so you do comics for this. You do a comic every issue.
Yeah, I've been doing a weekly colour strip for them for the past couple of years now. Called Tales from the Pub, and what it is readers of Picture will write in with a story of just an anecdote of any kind that's funny and interesting, that they think is funny and interesting.
Yeah.
And then I draw it up as a little strip.
And so is it funny and interesting?
It can be made funny and interesting. The stories are very rarely funny. They're often slightly interesting in the sense that if you heard your friend tell it, you'd think it was funny, but it's not really.
Me mate, he drank some beer and then he fell down.
Yeah, it is exactly like nearly every week.
Yeah.
The story is about someone who got drunk, right? And then threw up or pissed somewhere or shat somewhere that they shouldn't have, somewhere amusing and strange. Oh, sometimes it's not even that weird. Sometimes it really is just, we got really drunk, we drank this, and then we drank this, and then we drank this, and then I wake up and I didn't know where it was. You know, it's really quite weak sometimes.
Wow.
And I do my best to make them actually funny.
Are there boobs in these comics?
Yeah, occasionally, yeah. I don't like because
there was a point where I think the other magazine that you mentioned, People maybe, was looking for a strip, and so I sent them some stuff, but I didn't have any boobs in mine really.
Yeah.
And that was my mistake because they didn't go for it.
Yeah.
So that's in a sense that almost gets us onto the topic of comics that are for an audience. Because there are some peoples who does some comics that are likes for audiences. Like, specifically. Hey?
M there?
They're M. So? Yeah, they're M. There was a chap who did a comic that was a goth comic for goths, and I think he was quite successful with that. A comic called, I think, Glitter Shy.
Macad.
Okay, yep.
He what wasn't him. Though? Well, he was good. Yeah, no, he just doesn't really do them anymore. I think I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't think his was one that was, you know, for an audience. If you ever hear him talking stuff, he actually he writes comics that he himself thinks he's funny. He writes about things that he knows because he is a big goth.
Yeah, and, well, that's right.
Well, yeah.
So it works. It's not like he's pandering or anything. He just, you know, he does comics that are kind of that's about right. him and people he knows or people he would imagine, you know. There's like Lee Ragosi did some comics about working at a fish punt.
Okay.
Because he worked at a fish punt.
Yeah.
And he sold the comics at the fish punt. And he did well that way.
Hmm.
And that's a really, really small kind of... not.
It's a very small audience, isn't it?
It's a small audience, but I mean, he did well doing that because it was, you know, appropriate. And he kind of, and people would come in and go, oh, fish. Oh, a comic about fish. Nice. You know, so there are people around who do things like that and are quite successful by them, and they're not pandering to an audience. And the reason I mention this is because you know, I've been in this exhibition with these people, and they just have no interest in or understanding of, as far as I can tell, getting their work noticed and sort of I'm reluctant to use the word selling themselves, but that's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of gone, well, why do we have to write a media release? Can't our art speak for itself?
Mm.
And the answer is, to a journalist, no, it can't. Sorry.
Why are they reluctant to write up a little paragraph?
They're real artists. It's kind of an awkward situation wherein they're all good mates of mine. And,
oh, okay.
And they're all painters and artists and that, and I'm comics guy, and they wanted to have me in their exhibition, which is lovely. But I don't think that I quite fit in with it, and so I became the guy who is sort of prodding them to, you know, talk about themselves, and they're like, I don't know, Dave, I don't know. So,
it's hard to get used to. It really feels, you feel like an idiot when you first try to talk yourself up. I mean,
yeah.
I do anyway. Some people are great at it, some people just blah, 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 and they sound really convincing and stuff because they're confident and that. But if you're not used to it,
Yeah,
I mean, I can do it now, but when I started out, I hated it. I was the most timid, shy little fella, and could never say anything. Oh, I don't know, I just done comics, and I like them, and they're a bit good, and I would never say that they were good, you know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't go
that far.
I still don't. I think I've mentioned in these two podcasts already at least twice or three times, unless I edited them out, that my comics are intended to be funny as opposed to they are funny.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's like, that's a fucking psychological problem I have. Because you go, I'll say they're funny, but oh, what if someone goes, hang on, no they're not. That's me served. So we avoid that by me saying, oh, they're meant to be funny. They're trying to be funny. Fuck it, they are funny.
I do
funny comics.
They are.
I'm coming out. What I was thinking of, I think, when I asked about whether you write for an audience, which is how that conversation started, is that I was talking to Jo Waite, and she was saying that at least one of her comics, she was writing it with one specific person in mind.
Oh, really?
Like, this. Now, I'm writing this in such a way that it will make sense for this person, you know, or what will this person be thinking when they read it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I think that's a really good way to do it, though. Because if one person likes it, chances are, you know, their tastes are similar to a lot of other people's. That's a really good way to do it. Actually, that's kind of how I do it as well. I think of my sister, who has a very similar sense of humour, and I try to do stuff that I think that she thinks is funny, or that I think is funny, or a particular one of my friends.
Mm.
So that
all right,
really
no, I do think about... I guess I think about that in a vague... Yeah. Abstract kind of way that, you know, obviously when this comic is done, I want to think it is great first of all, but then it would be nice if, you know, my mate Adam thinks it's funny and other mates think it's funny and to some extent other comics people think it's funny. Yeah, so I guess that happens. I in my last comic I did a strip, a 20 page thing that was meant to be a letter to Jared Ashworth.
Yeah.
So in a way, that was directed at one person, although it kind of widened its focus halfway through and became not at all about Jared. But, yeah.
I wonder if everyone works like that, if they've all got this one individual person that they think, I wonder if this guy would think it was funny, you know, as they're writing it.
Well, maybe we could suggest that our listeners send us audio files of them telling us the answer.
Oh, my God.
And then we could actually edit it into the next podcast.
All right, listeners, if you heard that, do what he just said.
Do what I just said. Say into a microphone who you are and whether you write your comics for anyone and who you write them for, and we'll put it in if there's anyone who does this.
Cool. I think we've got a listenership of maybe, what, 16 people now at the moment?
16 people!
Lord of the Rings, gay? Or is that just a really, really boring, stupid, dumb, stupid thing that boring, stupid students go on about because they think they're being, ooh, controversial? Well, I'm not sure. And we actually got Rob Inglis, the distinguished British actor, to come in and read some passages from Lord of the Rings so that we can determine once and for all whether or not Lord of the Rings is actually a big gay metaphor or if that's just wishful thinking.
Once Gollum came out, oh yes, he came out. Gollum had good friends now. Good friends and very strong. He hated cunt.
There's nothing gay about it.
No, it's not.
There's nothing gay about it at all.
Absolutely not. Now read another one, Rob.
Just why Mr. Frodo was selling his beautiful hole was even more debatable than the price.
Ah.
Well, I mean, that you could construe that as being slightly...
No.
Well, he's a hobbit. They don't have prostitutes in Hobbitland.
No.
Come on, read another one, Rob.
Hi, Nob, he shouted. Where are you, you woolly-footed slowcoach Nob? Coming, sir. Coming.
What, he's just a little hobbit named Nob arriving when he got called. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing.
Yeah. Are there any more? I mean, do we need any more proof?
Oh, I think he's got some more.
It was not until they had puffed up the embers into a blaze and thrown on a couple of faggots that they discovered Strider had come with them.
Oh, hang on.
No,
that might be gay.
No, it's not.
That might be even, like, anti.
Bloody burning the bloody faggots.
That's anti-gay.
Nothing wrong with it. That's bloody... anti-gay.
You're right. So it's actually not gay at all because he hates gays.
Come on, the bloody fire.
He's hating them. He's burning them. It's all right.
There it casts its arms about the steep shores of the isle and falls down into the Neandalf, the Wetwang, as it is called in your tongue.
Thank you very much, Rob. That is okay. Can I go now? Yes, you can. Thank you.
Stung. Oop. Sorry. News. News of things that are happening.
All in right. Comics.
Oh, you're so unprofessional, Ben.
Aww.
Comic Book Funny is a thing that I'm organising in Melbourne, which is going to be at the Comedy Festival. The Melbourne International Comedy Festival is a big festival. Melbourne has approximately 400 festivals every month, and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is one of the biggest of these festivals. It gets hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people coming down and looking at stand-up and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And I thought, well, those people who are looking at the comedy and listening to the comedy and enjoying the comedy, they might enjoy funny comics.
Yes, a much better market, perhaps, than the who attend Supernova and Armageddon.
That's what I thought. And so I went to the Comedy Festival people, and they said, okay, great, you want to do a comics thing? And I said, yes. And they said, and how much will it cost to get in? And I said, nothing. And they said, that might be a problem. And I said, well, it needs to be free because we can kind of try to divert people from comedy towards comics, but we can't say, hey, skip Dave Hughes, come and meet some cartoonists, because they just won't go for it.
Yeah, especially if we have comics there and they've got to fork out for comics as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they don't know who we are, and we're trying to sell them stuff, so it needs to be a free event. And Trades Hall, which is where it's going to be, which is a venue at the north end of Melbourne CBD, thought it was an awesome idea, and so they're giving us the use of the Bella Union Bar, which is the bar where alcohol is served at Trades Hall upstairs, and they're going to let us hang out in there from 4 p.m. every Saturday during the festival and talk comics.
How many weeks is that?
It's 4 weeks. It's on March 22nd, March 29th, April 5th, and April 12th. Saturday Excellent. Afternoons, 4 p.m., comic book funny, talking comics.
And maybe what are some of the names?
Oh,
Who's going to be there?
Well, we haven't got it quite sorted yet, but you're talking your Joe Waite, your Pat Grant, your Dean Rankin, your Ben Hutchings, your Glenn Smith, your Ross Tesserer, your Bernard Callio, your Clint Curé, Neil Blandon, Nikki Greenberg, Andrew Weldon, and me.
A star-studded cast.
It's star-studded, but the people who come to the comedy festival might not be aware of the fact that we're all stars.
Yeah. And studs.
And studs, yeah.
Oh, so, wow. That'll be good.
Yeah, it will be good. And so you're coming down, you're going to have Glenn Smith and Ross, and the three of you are going to launch, apparently, three comics at your session.
Yeah, that's right. There'll be three. There'll be, apparently, In Trailer Trash, new issue of that. That's Ross and Glenn's collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be Glenjamin 3.5, which is actually a trade paperback collection of the three Glenjamins that me and Glenn Smith do.
And some extra stuff.
Yeah, extra stuff, of course.
That would be the 0.5.
And Lesson Master, the anthology that I've just completed, which is all of the little Lesson Master lesson comics that I've been posting lately. It's just a collection of those. Yeah, there'll be stuff to see.
Mm-hmm. And that's at the March 29th one. The one before that, on the 22nd, Jo Waite's going to launch her Work for the Doll comic, which is called Kickstart.
Oh, really?
Which is all about her trials and tribulations getting paid to listen to stupid people talk.
Awesome.
Mm.
That sounds really cool.
And Pat Grant is going to be there, and he's like a New South Welshman originally, but he's just moved down here. And he's just finished his thesis for uni, which is a humongous comic.
Really?
It's huge. And it's about the Cronulla riots.
Really? Oh, yeah. Brilliant. That sounds like it's going to be a good, proper, little comic meet-up, talky, selly, drinking beery type of thing.
Four times.
Brilliant.
Once a week, you know? Yep.
No fanboys.
Well, I'm happy for fanboys to come down, but I also want to have some people who just might not have checked out any alternative / underground / silly funny comics before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at that one, we got Joe and Pat and Dean Rankin. And Dean does Christian comics, primarily. And so I think he's launching the Bible.
Oh, what are you... drawn the Bible in his
style? No. I just said to him, Dean, do you have something to launch? And he quoted some scripture at me. And so I said, well, that's true. The Bible has not been launched recently.
They haven't actually had an official launch for it. Is that what you're
saying? I don't think so. No, they may have launched the Old Testament, but the New Testament is brand new. So that needs to be launched. So it will be.
Well, he might as well do it.
March 22nd.
Brilliant.
March 29th, you guys launching all your shit, as we just described.
Uh-huh.
April 5th, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen, but Bernard Callio is going to be there. Bernard does an anthology called Tango.
And he has glasses. He's quite a dashing man.
He's a very dashing man. And he's a very theatrical man a lot of the time. He plays the ukulele.
Oh, really?
So I can't promise that he's not going to play ukulele at this thing. He may.
Oh, you can't promise it.
I can't promise that he will. I can't promise that he won't. I hope he will. But he reckons he might actually do a bit of drawing demonstration for people. So that's going to be good. Clint Curé and Neil Blandon will be there. They're animation-type people. So I reckon there'll be some animation on that day.
What is Clint Curé and Neil Blandon done lately? Like, I know they used to do heaps of stuff.
Yeah, they haven't done a lot of comics lately because they have been employed, I think, doing shitloads of teaching, you know, weird kids how to animate stuff.
Yeah.
But Clint, last year, Clint won the Comedy Channel Short Film Festival which is at the Comedy Festival,
and
he made a film called The Lecture, which is about teaching weird kids how to animate.
I think I saw that.
And that's right. We put on a little screening that was in. I think before it was even done. But he finished it. He gave it to them. They went, that's the winner. They gave him $10,000.
Really?
So he's good.
Okay, good.
Not because they gave him 10 grand, but that's just another reason why you can be assured that he is good.
Yeah.
And funny, yeah. And therefore you should come to the one on April 5th.
Excellent.
And then the last one, right? I'm going to be there. And and Nikki Greenberg's going to be there. And Andrew Weldon's going to be there.
Okay. And Nikki Greenberg did The Great Gatsby.
That's right. She did the big The Great Gatsby adaptation, which is available in all good bookshops.
And she'll be doing a 4-hour interpretive dance of that book.
I'm suggesting that Joe Waite's going to be doing the interpretive dance at this thing.
Okay.
But
yeah.
that's in the first week. But Nikki maybe will talk about that. But I want Nikki to talk more about her other comics that she writes, her funny comics that she writes. Mostly they have zombies in them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're good stuff. And Andrew Weldon's, I think, quite well-known cartoonist. He does stuff for the Melbourne Age and elsewhere. He's got books out and things like that. But what I didn't realize until I sort of organized our names together is that we're all Jews. And I don't know that that's actually going to come up much, but I thought, well, that's we've got to keep that as it is. I might bring up some Jewish shit. They might cringe listening to me because I might mention matzo balls and stuff, and they probably, I don't know that they want to talk about that, but we will a little bit.
Yeah, well, you can waltz in and do that accent that you do with the cigar.
The Jewish producer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I crammed it full of good cunts. And so that's what we've done. We've crammed this full of good cunts. And so at that one, I'm going to launch my most recent comic.
Yeah, which is?
Which is Naked Fella Comics number 9. And you might be thinking, true, he finished it in September last year. But I think launches are better when they happen 6 months after.
Yeah, exactly.
You get time to reflect. You get time to think about it. I had time to read the comic again and go, you know what? That's as good a comic as I've ever done.
And that's the God Honest Jew-th. Instead of truth, Jew. Put the word Jew in. It's a pun.
I gave you a sting under that.
Excellent. See, that was concise, to the point. Bam. Easy,
oh, yeah.
Good.
It was an enormous plug, and we're deserving of it.
Excellent.
So tell... I'm talking to the listeners now, not to you, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Tell all of your friends about this. I mean, you can tell your friends as well.
Oh, I can tell my friends?
You can, but like if they're in Canberra, they probably won't come.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, talking...
Comics Craft!
Ben, what do you use to draw your comics?
My cock.
I use a pen. Informative.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, you and I, David, had the good fortune to speak to one of the biggest names in the comics industry.
That's right, Stan Lee.
Oh, yes. He is very big. And, yeah, we had a great little chat with him, so...
Let's go out on that.
Stan Lee, thanks for talking to us.
Hiya, Jeff.
That's Ben, actually.
If I may call you Jeff.
Now, you've had the sort of success with your characters that other people can only dream about. All of your characters are world famous, they've all been made into blockbuster films.
Sure.
Where do you go from here? Describe your goals.
My balls are very impressive, and I think that...
Sorry, I mean your goals, not your balls.
They're easy to carry around, and they're fun to shave, and they don't take up that much room. And they're not too big. I can't remember them in that much detail. I have a couple of them, because one isn't enough. They're called Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. And as far as what they'll be like in many years, it just depends.
That's okay, we don't really need to know that.
Hiya, Jeff.
Out of all your characters, though, which is your particular favorite? Which of them stand out as being rather good to you?
Well, I would think probably as far as it, the...
Yeah, right. Do you have a favorite?
You know, I can't think of any.
So you're not really a fan of Marvel Comics or the movies or any of the characters?
I've never been much of a killer myself. I killed Tobey Maguire once. I have a feeling he's the only guy I personally have ever killed, although I have a bad memory. There may have been one other somewhere. Sometimes I get angry. I meet somebody and he doesn't say thanks for all the enjoyment you gave me, and I feel, why are you so rude and impolite? What happened to you?
Yeah, no, I can see why you would really want to murder an actor.
I really hate the way he did Peter Parker in Spider-Man. I thought, I was jealous of him because I always wanted to play that role. Basically, what I'm thinking of while I watch him die is, boy, this is great. Oh, man, I'm good. It's a great feeling.
Okay, I think David's got a few questions to ask you now.
Now, Mr. Lee, I understand recently you actually met George W. Bush, the President of the United States. What was he like?
From what I recall, his biggest problem was words of more than two syllables.
Well, you hear that about him a lot, but, I mean, what was it like actually meeting him?
We waited at the place where the president's limo was going to arrive.
Yeah.
We stood there, and finally the car arrived, and the bodyguards all came out, and then the president and his wife got out.
And when that happened, what were you thinking?
I wanted a little sandwich.
Uh-huh.
As they got out, we greeted them.
Okay, what did you say?
I said, it's no fun writing stories, particularly not for me. I just do it in order to sell them and make a couple of bucks. What do I think I can sell today?
Yeah, that's actually really sad. Why would you tell the president that?
I guess I enjoy talking about myself.
No arguments there. You said we, so I assume you and your wife were there?
Peter and his wife and my wife and me and my daughter. And there may have been one or two other people. I can't remember who they were.
Okay, and when you say Peter, you're talking about who?
Peter Parker.
Huh?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was there. You're saying Spider-Man is a...
real person.
Spider-Man is real and alive and... Mary Jane is alive and Aunt May and Uncle Ben and...
Uncle Ben is dead.
All right, yeah, well...
Peter, he could do no wrong. He was...
He was what?
He was aware at last that in this world... with great power, must also come great responsibility.
Okay.
Gee, that sounds profound, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose it would to you, but then you are...
like 150 years old.
Right.
Anyway, good talking to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lee, and I guess since you're a celebrity, we have to let you crap on for a minute about how much you love Australia.
I love it, and I love terrorism, and I'm really a very big fan of Captain Stacy, and actually, I think everybody would. I love J. Jonah Jameson.
Well, that's our fantastic interview with Stan Lee, and that's been Comic Book Funny, the podcast, for a second time.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it every bit as much as we enjoyed making it.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, it was the best. Thank you, David. Thank you.
Bye.
See
ya.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Comic Book Funny was presented by David Blumenstein and Ben Hutchings. You can visit David's website at www.nakedfella.com. Ben's website is Geen Comics, G-E-E-N. Look it up on Google.